Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the VGI Partners Limited 1H19 results briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to ask a question via webcast, please click on the Ask a Question tab on the top right corner of your screen anytime during the conference. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Robert Luciano, Executive Chairman. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and welcome to the half year 2019 results conference call and webcast for VGI Partners Limited. Thank you for joining us today and for your ongoing support. With me in the room is Douglas Tynan and our CFO, Ian Cameron. We also have Ingrid Groer, our Investor Relations Manager. The purpose of today is to take your questions on the half year result that were lodged with the ASX this morning, and to provide an introduction to VGI Partners for those of you who are new to us. Before we open the lines for questions, I'll spend a few minutes explaining how we look at our business internally and some of the key points arising from the result. First, an important point. You may have seen our ASX release on the 5th of August discussing the proposed IPO of a new listed investment company focused on Asia, which we have named VG8. Due to the restrictions on pre-prospectus publicity, I'm unable to provide any further commentary on that initiative today, other than to note the project remains firmly on track and that we expect to lodge the prospectus with ASIC next week. Now, turning to page two. There is no question that the first half of the calendar year was a significant period for the company, with the VGI Partners IPO completed in June. We now have a very strong balance sheet, as well as the opportunity to use VGI Partners shares to drive greater alignment between our management company and investors in the VGI funds. Despite the IPO, very little has changed for us. Key members of the management team own 80% of the company, and we're committed for the long term. In fact, the founders did not sell a single share into the IPO, and the majority of our shares are escrowed for 5 years. I said in the prospectus that the directors of VGI Partners would measure the company's success by the long-term returns that we deliver for our investors in the VGI funds. I would encourage all of you on this call not to lose sight of this. It is our view that if we deliver for our investors, shareholder returns will follow in due course. Our culture internally also ensures our singular focus is on fund performance and not on fundraising. That is what makes us different from our listed peers. It is also pleasing that we were able to structure the VGI IPO so that it was available only to existing VGI Partners investors, VG1 investors, or those investors who purchased entitlements sold by shareholders in our listed investment company, VG1. This was a very deliberate alignment initiative. Now, in terms of key financial performance metrics, we finished the half year with funds under management of 2.6 billion dollars, including the 300 million dollars raised in June via VG1. Total operating revenue for the 6 months was 45.9 million dollars, with normalized costs totaling 10.5 million for the half year. This translated to normalized EBIT of 35.1 million and normalized NPAT of 24.6 million. As I'll discuss later, we finished the end of July with run rate annualized net management fees of approximately 38 million dollars. The board has declared a fully franked dividend of 0.256 per share on normalized EPS of 0.366 per share, and this implies a dividend payout ratio of 70%. Now, I'll discuss these financial metrics in greater detail in a moment. First, please turn to page four for some background on VGI Partners. As you know, VGI Partners is a specialist wealth manager focused on global equities. We now have 28 professional staff across three offices in Sydney, New York, and Tokyo. Over the last year, we have grown our team in our representative office in Tokyo to four professional staff. VGI Partners currently deploys a single investment strategy across all our funds and managed accounts. And this means we have 16 investment staff in Sydney, New York, and Tokyo focused on a single strategy. Our investment strategy is closed to new investors. And this means the only way to gain access to our strategy today is by investing in VG1 shares on market or becoming a wholesale investor in our charitable foundation class, which has a limited capacity. Turning to page 5 of the presentation, VGI Partners invest primarily in global equities, comprising long investments, short positions, and cash. Our investment philosophy reflects the following three key tenets. Number one, capital preservation, and that is, do not lose money. We're extremely focused on seeking to avoid any permanent loss of capital. We aim to increase the likelihood of capital preservation through two key means. First, by investing in high quality businesses that are easy to understand and that trade at prices which we believe exhibit a margin of safety. And that is trading at prices that are significantly below the intrinsic value of the business. And second, by using little or no leverage and also keeping prudent cash buffers. Our second key tenet is long-term compound growth. We seek to deliver superior risk-adjusted returns over the long term. Our target is to achieve compound returns of 10 to 15% per annum after all fees and expenses, but over the long term and through the investment cycle, which we deem to be 5 to 7 years. We aim to do this through portfolio concentration, and this is the third tenet. Portfolio concentration means concentrating capital in a relatively small number of high-quality investments. As a result, the top 5 investments will typically represent 40 to 50% of VGI's core fund portfolios when they're fully invested. Importantly, we're not afraid to hold cash when attractive opportunities are not available, and our focus is on preserving capital. And that sums up our three key investment tenets and how we run our funds under management. We're also focused on ensuring alignment between VGI Partners, our talented team, and our investors. And this is reflected in numerous decisions that we have made since the inception of VGI Partners in 2008. For example, when we established VG1, we committed to waive all management fees until the cost of establishing the company had been met. This was groundbreaking at the time, but it meant that VG1 listed with NTA equal to the issue price. In taking this approach, we established a new benchmark for the funds management industry in Australia. Further, at the time of the VG1 IPO, I, along with Doug Tynan and Rob Poyner, committed to reinvest our pro rata amount of performance fees after tax from VG1 back into VG1 shares. We were the first Australian fund manager to make such a strong commitment to alignment of interest with our investors. In addition, all our staff are prohibited from investing outside of VGI Partners and our funds, and all of our investment team has a vast proportion of their net worth invested in VGI Partners and our funds. I also believe that one of the great benefits of the VGI Partners IPO was that it provided us with a mechanism to efficiently broaden ownership of the firm amongst our staff. Options over 7% of VGI Partners are held by our team, and these vest over 5 years. This has brought with it a tangible change throughout the team and enhanced alignment of interest. And of course, 80% of shares currently on issue are held by the founders, with the majority subject to 5-year escrow. Now turning to page 6, This chart provides a snapshot of how we are doing at meeting our core objective of delivering long-term risk-adjusted returns for VGI fund investors. The VGI Partners Master Fund portfolio is one of our longest established portfolios and has delivered compound annual returns of 15% after all fees since it was established in January 2009. And this compares to 11.3% for the MSCI Total Return Index in Australian dollars. And we believe this index is a reasonable benchmark to use as a point of reference. However, we do note that any index assumes 100% investment and the VGI funds are never 100% invested. So it's a rough proxy and not a perfect benchmark. Now, moving on to the right-hand chart on page 7. This chart shows that since inception, the portfolio has tended to outperform in periods of market weakness. In down market months, when the index fell 2.3% on average, the average decline for the VGI portfolio was in comparison only 0.7%. Turning now to normalised financials on page 9. Let me first start by explaining the approach that we have taken to normalisation of the figures. For the purpose of calculating normalised NPAT and EPS, we've added back the one-off transaction costs associated with the IPO of VGI Partners and the cost of the capital raising undertaken by VG1. These were genuine one-offs and they do not reflect the ongoing operations of VGI Partners whatsoever. The cost of these transactions that were expensed through the income statement totaled $5.7 million before tax. I note also that for the purpose of calculating basic EPS, we've used the end of period shares on issue of 67.1 million. The dividend per share of 25.6 cents declared today will be paid to all shareholders who are on the register as at the record date of 3 September. Turning to page 10. The chart on the right-hand side of the page sets out growth in funds under management since inception in 2009. FUM grew 24% to $2.6 billion during the first half of 2019. $300 million of this growth was from the VG1 raising, while performance contributed $200 million. Now turning to the drivers of revenues. Gross management fees are 1.5% across all of our funds under management, with the exception of a very small number of initial investors who supported the company at its inception, and of course funds we manage for charitable causes. With the VG1 waiver having come to an end in late April, the most recent FUM figure should be used as the starting point for assessing VGI Partners' go-forward annualised management fee. Based on VGI's FUM as at 31 July, the go-forward annualised net management fee is now around $38 million for the entire VGI Partners group. Across our funds, performance fees are 15% and subject to a high watermark. So, for every 10% of performance from today, we generate approximately $39 million in performance fees, assuming all funds are above high watermark. Today, all of our funds are either above or roughly around their high watermarks. It is also important to highlight that there's some seasonality in performance fees due to the performance fee calculation periods of various funds. VG1 has a semi-annual performance fee period, and this ends on 30th of June and the 31st of December. However, the Master Fund and IMA accounts have an annual performance fee period ending 30th of June, while the Offshore Fund has an annual performance fee period ending 31st of December. So due to the relative size of the Master Fund and IMAs, this results in our performance fees being skewed for now significantly to the June half. Future FUM growth for the global strategy will largely be reliant on the performance of the strategy. Our unlisted funds are closed to new investment, and the VG1 board is committed not to conduct further capital raisings in VG1 until June 22, or unless that is part of a value-enhancing acquisition of another listed investment company, or to satisfy the performance fee reinvestment mechanism to Doug Tynan, Rob Pointer and myself. We have, however, announced our intention to establish a second investment strategy via our new listed investment company, VGI Partners Asian Investments Limited, or VGA, in the current half year. So turning to page 11, this chart shows the bridge from 12.5 million management fees recorded during the June half to the go-forward annual management fees of 38 million that I mentioned earlier. As you can see, the end of the VG1 fee waiver, which means we are now receiving a management fee of 1.5% on VG1, is the largest contributor to the increase. Turning to page 12 for the expenses side of the profit and loss. Excluding the one-off capital raising costs of 5.7 million that we expensed during the half, the biggest cost in our business is personnel, up 31% on the prior corresponding period at 5.6 million. As we built out our team in Tokyo, added to our Sydney and New York investment teams. This figure includes staff bonuses, which are entirely discretionary and are not tied to performance fees. To date, all staff bonuses have been paid in cash. However, this may change in the future. Alongside the grant of employee options that took place in advance of the IPO, we've also established a staff equity scheme, so we have the flexibility to introduce an equity component to future incentive arrangements if we think this would assist in establishing further alignment. Looking to the future, we're resourced to manage substantially more FUM than we do today. I've made the observation before that it's hard to identify a fund manager that has a higher ratio of investment staff to funds under management. This means that we will not have to add materially to the cost base as the business grows. More specifically, we already have all of the resourcing in place to run an Asian strategy alongside our existing global strategy. That said, we are always on the lookout for talented people who will add to our capacity to deliver on our core objective of delivering long-term returns for investors in the VGI funds. So don't be surprised if you see headcount increases in the next 6 to 12 months. Before moving on from this slide, the Charitable Foundation Class Fee donation is also worth mentioning. We currently have around $20 million invested in this class of the Master Fund, and limited capacity remains. The standard management and performance fees are payable to VGI partners on the foundation class, but we then contractually donate all fees that are received to the VGI Partners Foundation. So this resulted in just over $300,000 of donations in the income statement in the first half of 2019, and I'll talk more about this later in the presentation. Now turning to page 13 for the balance sheet. You would recall that the balance date was only around 2 weeks after the IPO, and that's reflected here. And we finished the period with $76 million in cash and no debt. The trade and other receivables line includes performance fees that crystallised as at 30 June of $33 million and approximately 1 month the management fees, given that we receive management fees monthly. The increase in trade and other payables primarily reflects the cost of the VGI Partners IPO and the VG1 capital raising. Cash payments for professional fees and distribution costs were mostly made in July. Employee entitlements includes an allowance for staff bonuses paid in July. The increase in other liabilities mainly reflects tax payable, which we have since paid. It also includes a small lease liability, which we now need to show on balance sheet given a recent change to accounting standards. This balance sheet strength gives us considerable flexibility and sets us up well for the proposed IPO of VG8 and other initiatives. We've earmarked $20 million for long-term investment by VGI Partners in the new VGA strategy. And we've also announced that the manager will meet all costs of the offer. We'll also be able to meet all costs of the offer in cash, and there'll be no need, therefore, to replicate the fee waiver that we put in place for VG1. Turning to page 14, we would like to share with you some of the charities that VGI supports. Since VGI was formed in 2008, the company has made $1.3 million of cash donations to select charities. In the last few years, VGI has also been managing funds for some foundations and charities pro bono. You can see the list of these funds in the box on the bottom right side. Fee rebates for these funds have already totaled $3.6 million, bringing our total donation since VGI's formation to approximately $5 million. In particular, I'd like to highlight that in 2018, we formed the VGI Partners Foundation and established a new charitable foundation class in the VGI Partners Master Fund. 100% of management and performance fees earned by VGI on the foundation class are donated to the VGI Partners Foundation. The foundation class, as at 30th of June, had approximately $20 million in funds under management with limited additional capacity. The current level of FUM equates to $300,000 of donations per annum from management fees alone. In terms of the focus of the VGI Partners Foundation, we aim to make a sustainable difference to the health and well-being of Australian children, to provide support to families of people who have made a significant personal sacrifice while contributing to Australian society, such as military personnel and first responders. And for further information, please see the VGI Partners Foundation website. Now please turn to page 16. We've set out some observations on the current market environment, and I'm happy to discuss these in Q&A. On page 17, we've summarised our shareholder engagement program. The major events in the VGI Partners calendar largely correspond with what you would be used to if you're a VG1 shareholder. You might not know how important it is to register your email address with the investor relations team, but if you want to get the full benefits of being a VGI Partners shareholder, you should definitely do so. And this includes a variety of communications and includes our meeting notes from the Berkshire Hathaway meetings and the Daily Journal annual meeting. So if you haven't done so, please sign up or ask your financial advisor to add your details to our register. Given we have just announced our inaugural dividend, I would also encourage investors to register their banking details. And this can be done by logging into InvestorServe, and this is a website run by our share registry, Boardroom. Or you could complete forms that are available on Boardroom's website. Now, if you have any questions whatsoever, please feel free to contact Ingrid in our investor relations team. Now, that brings us to the end of the presentation. Thank you.